Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And from live, from Star Trek Las Vegas...
Joe DePinto.
Welcome, Joe.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Joe has been a listener of us, and he is in...
Since at least the beginning of the year, right? Was it the beginning of the year or end of last
year? Yeah. Oh, probably about the beginning of the year, yeah.
And
I first started listening to podcasts.
and since he started, I think we've read one of his emails.
At least two of his emails. Yeah.
And then, he was going to Star Trek Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and he is our traveling correspondent for this.
Our traveling correspondent.
He's going to tell us of all the sights, the smells, the tastes.
Oh, he's also our anonymous correspondent because he's or on webcam and like his face is blocked out.
Yeah, he does.
He's like one of those anonymous. Like it's like instead of the black shade,
it's not actually Joe.
It's just the guy who sounds like Joe. We've got his voice modulated.
That's right.
I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. So, Joe, why don't we talk a little bit about yourself? You are a man of aspirations, higher than the average bear. Average bear.
Well, the average Joe.
Yeah, why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
So I'm a city council member for the city of Yelm. I was elected in 2015.
Washington.
Yeah, Washington State.
Okay, got it.
Washington State, Yelm, Washington. Small town, a little under 10,000 total population. It's my hometown. I grew up there. And it's been a real pleasure serving and helping out those in my city.
Awesome. And now you're running for mayor?
I am, yeah.
Mayor West.
I was thinking about doing that for Halloween this year.
That would be great. That'd be great.
Make sure to bring Taffy.
And when do the polls open? Is that typically in November or is that
it is? Okay. Yeah, it's the first Tuesday in November.
So
is the election,
and that's for this upcoming fall, correct?
It is.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know how long the political cycles run in Yelm. So you know, I mean,
yeah, I know it's I announced my campaign in I think March. And, yeah, it's been going hard ever since.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just loved in your original email you said you like to kind of, like, stick some Trek into what you do for your job. So I think that's really awesome.
I think more people need to have more Trek.
Especially people in government.
Oh, my God.
Especially people in government.
Yeah, no, Star Trek's been with me for a long time, and I really try to foster the ideals that I get from Star Trek and really really show it in my public service and how I lead and all that. So it's been really helpful for me.
I can't imagine it wouldn't be. I don't really talk literally of like civic duties or just civics in Star Trek, but there's all these underlying, you know, like themes about it. So you can't get
away
from
the morality of it.
Correct. The ethical morality, all that mm-hmm. stuff. So,
absolutely.
I just think that's really wonderful. You know, that we get somebody who's, I mean, is council member, but could be mayor. vote Joe DePinto.
Thank you.
Honestly,
that's as far as I want to go to. I just want to serve my time, give back to my community that I grew up in and get out and make my own money, you know?
That's right. That's cool. Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Very nice. And speaking of making your own money, I heard you've been doing some gambling in Vegas. How's that going?
It's been good. I was playing some poker. It was right after one of the panels got out. So there was like an exodus of Star Trek folks that came out. And they all sat down at the poker table. And I was like, I play a lot of poker, a decent amount. And a lot of those people.
God, I hope you were playing with a Ferengi.
No, but I was playing with a Captain Sisko.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yes. Although, although if he was really playing Sisko and being legit, he should say Las Vegas is racist and storm out.
Yeah. and he, well, I hope that you'd have some Dabo girls around you.
Ah, I wish I did, but I did not.
You should have, like, got the lady, the big thing head lady, and got her, hey, come be my Dabo girl. tell her that the finest whiskey was invented by an old Russian woman.
Yes, that's awesome. So let's get into, like, Star Trek Las Vegas.
It's your first time.
Yeah.
It is.
So let's talk, let's see what stuck out, what's been awesome.
Amazingness have you seen?
Yeah.
There's been so many amazing things. I honestly, being my first convention, I didn't know what to expect, what to go to or anything. And some, like your podcast and some of the other podcasts I've listened to, Shore Leave, I think is the other one.
Yeah.
It really prepared me for it and helped me out. I don't know what I'd do without those, honestly. They gave me a lot of good pointers and all that.
Did you get to meet the Shore Leave guys, Heather and Jeff?
I think I met one. I think I met Heather. I'm not sure though if it was her or not. I knew she did a podcast, and she looked familiar, so I just introduced myself.
That's great.
Oh yeah, Heather. Yeah, she was the one who I had all that knowledge on our show, and she does Shore Leave with Jeff. Jeff also, he was the Santagorn.
Yeah. So
if you saw Santagorn, that was Jeff.
I saw him walking around. I did.
Jeff is a great guy. Love Santagorn.
Santagorn.
I even he posted on Facebook. That he heard Santagorn was gonna be coming out, and I was like, "You better not shout, you better not cry, you better be armed." I'm telling you why Santagorn is coming to STLV. And I wrote it. I wrote part of the second verse too, but that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay. So, Joe, what else? I mean, obviously you've seen a lot, so let's talk about like the panels that you've gone to and what's been interesting.
Sure. So the first panel I attended was the Q&A with Dr. Mae Jemison, I think, or Jemison. She's an astronaut from NASA. In the 90s, I think she went up.
She was like the transporter room operator for that one episode?
Yeah, exactly. And she went up and she was a science officer, actually, for her shuttle mission. It was really, really enlightening and just really a pleasure to listen to her. It was really, really inspiring, actually.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was my first panel that I went to, and it was a great panel to start it out with. After that, I kind of went to the area with all the marketplace or whatever that is, the vendor's room.
Vendor's room, yeah.
Yeah, and that was really cool. So I've never experienced any of this before, and when I got there, it just blew my mind. All the memorabilia, the people, the actors – that was the best part, honestly. Meeting the actors in person, so many of them are so humble and just good people. I think I met Vic Fontaine and had a good chat with him.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Vic.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great.
I mean, he's one of my favorite characters from DS9, and it was just really awesome chatting with him.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And were there – how many actors? I mean, were there a ton of like those side actors that were on there? I mean, or is it just
– Yeah, so
someone took a picture with Moriarty on Facebook.
Oh, that's cool.
I saw him too. I told him he was a good actor. I loved him in TNG.
That's great. That's awesome.
I heard, I think it was earlier on your different podcast that you were talking about him jumping in for a future one, how cool it would have been for Voyager or DS9. And
yeah.
Totally agree with that. That would have been awesome if they followed that storyline.
Or, you know, the last episode we talked about how they gave the Hirogen the same prop that they stored Moriarty in. I just want to see Moriarty screw with the Hirogen. He's like, I'm not scared of you. I'm going to mess with you because I'm more smarter than you are.
I'm Dr. Moriarty. Yeah. So after you left that, or did you buy anything really cool?
Just photos and selfies with them, honestly.
Cool.
I got a decent amount. Ezri Dax was there, and she didn't have a line at all. And she was just such a cool person to chat with.
Really?
Yeah, she was really nice.
Did you get to meet J.J. Hertzler? We love talking with him at the con here.
Yeah, he seems like a cool cat. I saw him, and I waved at him, but I didn't actually get to chat with him. But there was a lot of other people that – I didn't really recognize until I saw them up at the table. They have a all their
photos, their headshots. And...
Yep, exactly, and all their roles that they played in. Most of them played multiple roles too in different series. I was really surprised. Like people you wouldn't know just because they had so much different makeup on or different costumes or outfits.
Did you see Wei Yun? Oh, it's Jeffrey Combs.
I haven't. No, I didn't see him there actually.
Huh.
I don't know if he was in there or not. So they rotate a lot of the people in there, and so if you don't go at the right time, sometimes you miss a certain actor. But
gotcha.
Garrett Wang or Wong, he was a cool guy. He's a funny dude. He does a lot of good impersonations. Great Janeway impersonation.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. That'd be funny to see.
And yeah, he was doing... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, he was doing like a... you remember the episode where he actually dies and the... and there's like a parallel universe.
The parallel version of him comes back, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So he was talking about it.
With the parallel Naomi Wildman.
Yep, exactly. Well, he was talking about it when he went in there and when he died. And then I think it was Torres that called to Janeway, says, Harry Kim is dead. Huh. And Janeway just doesn't skip a beat, says, all right, let's just go on to whatever. And here we are. Garrett was just like, why wasn't she caring more for me? Why didn't she like care more about that I died? And I was like,
usually honestly, because the first words out of his mouth when she asks him for something is, I can't or it won't.
Good point.
Well, and he, but it's an ensigns. They kind of just like are cannon fodder most of the time. Like,
yeah.
I think if you make it pass into like junior lieutenant, then they start taking you seriously all of a sudden. They're like,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe you'll stick around a little longer.
7 years, still an ensign. The worst character ever.
Oh.
Tom starts off at lieutenant. He goes from prisoner to lieutenant. To lieutenant junior grade, back to lieutenant, all in 7 years, and Harry Kim's still an ensign.
Oh, he's got me mugging Tom at sometimes, you know, it's man. Like, what the heck? I do all this stuff for you, I die, I come back to life, and all these missions I do, and I'm still an ensign. What the heck?
I know, it's pretty terrible. They treated him pretty rough on that show. He's sort of like the checkoff of...
I've read things that he jerked around a lot on the show. They were talking about kicking him out.
Really?
After season 3. Because at the end of season 3, he's been... he's got that STD from species 4572. He's got all that shit growing out of his face. And, you know, because that's the cliffhanger, the species 4572 thing. 8472, I'm sorry. So they were going to kill him off. And keep Kes and keep 7 of 9, but Harry Wang won the sexiest man of the year award somehow,
yeah.
And that's why they kept him on the show.
Yeah,
like some random award.
No, a sexy man of the year is not just a random award. If you get one of those, it's usually things are looking pretty up for you. I think Patrick Stewart won that.
Cool. He did. Yeah, they were talking about it actually at the con here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can see Patrick Stewart, but Patrick Stewart's been in so much more things. He's a much more recognizable person. Where Garrett Wang, I don't know him from anything other than Star Trek.
Well, wait a second. Go back in the '90s. No one knew Patrick Stewart other than Star Trek. He was literally Star Trek was what made made him famous. So
yeah.
So after that, I mean, did you get to what other panels did you get to get into?
I saw the best one, honestly. Oh, I saw the Voyager one. That was really cool. Had Robert Picardo, Beltran. I know it's your favorite character, David.
Chakotay.
He shows up. He dares show his face at a Star Trek convention?
He was balling it up, too. I mean, he came out there all strutting, acting like he was the best Voyager character ever, you know? And
He should. He ought to be proud of getting... daring someone to have 7 of 9 and him hook up. I'm like, yeah, I'd be balling too if you got to hook up with 7 of 9.
Didn't they actually share some kisses like on the set and all that?
I think so. I think I don't know if it was real Chakotay she kissed or hologram Chakotay she kissed. I guess either is still bad.
You're still Chakotay.
It's still Robert Beltran.
Oh my gosh. So one more thing about the vendor's room. So as I was going around, I noticed that there was this one lady who I didn't recognize so much, but it's she had all these pictures up, and they're little there were some less than reputable pictures out there. And
sexy is what you're talking about.
So who was it? Who was this?
Gates it was McFadden. Jerry Ryan.
You know, it was Jerry Ryan's body double.
Oh.
You remember the episode where Robert, or the doctor's
painting it?
Painting, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't Jerry Ryan.
Is her body double? Wow.
I thought that was actually Jerry Ryan.
So you got to see the full thing.
Very nice. I saw her posters.
I would have bought that.
Oh yeah. Jerry Ryan's body double.
Oh, man.
Does she still look good, though?
Yeah, she did.
Joe was like, yeah, yes.
Because Jerry Ryan still looks really good.
Oh, all man. Right. It'd be funny if she's like turned around and her like face is all like falling messed up. It's like big buck tooth and really jacked up. You're like, what the hell? Well, but her body's banging, you know. Yeah. She's like, whoa.
I thought you got the job.
A 10 downstairs and a 2 up top.
Oh my god.
No, she was a lovely lady and very nice too.
Oh man, that's wild. That's really cool, though.
Only she was stalking you around the vendor's room.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But, yeah, so that was a lot of fun, just the vendor's room itself. But there was a lot of other cool panels, too. Like, I mean, the best one, honestly, was probably the TNG panel. It was a reunion.
Oh, yeah, you told me something funny about that one.
Yeah. What the heck was I saying?
You said that Michael Dorn was trying to touch your leg. And she's you better be able to pay for that.
So that was a different panel.
Oh, it was? Okay.
What the heck did he say? So she was like, so Deanna Troi and Worf were just sitting there doing a panel by themselves. And Deanna Troi goes to Worf because he was kind of like playing and slapping her leg and stuff like that. And she goes, oh, what the heck did she say?
I think she said, you better be able to pay for that. And he's like, sure, I think I've got a dollar. Be sure to give me your change.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It just busted out. Everyone busted up laughing.
So apparently, Worf and Troy's breakup was really bad after All Good Things.
I didn't realize it. You know, honestly, I've never been to a convention, so I don't know how they act together and all that in real life, but... yeah, there was some tension there.
Well, I mean, were they being nasty or are they just joking?
It honestly, like, just looking at their body language, it seemed like they were kind of uncomfortable with each other.
Wow.
And it was a little, it was interesting seeing the body languages being so aversive to each other.
Hmm. I hate that.
Well, he was trying to get all up in that, and she sounds like she was the one who was not having fun.
Yeah. Honestly, it sounded like she had a few drinks, first of all, but it seemed like she was more of the instigator than he was. He was just trying to be cool and, you know, be professional, all that. But she was a lot of fun. She was. She also kind of moderated the panel for TNG The Reunion for everybody, okay. And that was really cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I heard Jonathan Frakes couldn't make it because he had a plane mess up. His flight got canceled. No, not crash. We need him to stay around and direct more Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Big news. But yeah, no, his flight was canceled, I think, because of the thunder and lightning that was happening over here. There was actually like a flash flood, which I've never seen it rain in Vegas. And I was very surprised that I saw that.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, we've been getting
poured on.
Massive rain over here, too. Hmm. So in TNG, was there anything that was – or was it just cool to see them all together?
Well, it was awesome seeing them together, but there was a cool – there's a few moments that I thought was just awesome. One of them was Picard when he was chatting. Most of the questions went to him. And so Patrick was just telling his stories, and he was talking about his first episode ever at Farpoint, and – Geordi, and he was saying that he was so intimidated, and he was impressed by all the different actors out there, and he was just intimidated by all of them. And he was just walking around saying that he was trying to keep his composure and be as cool as he can and be as, Jean-Luc Picard, you know how he is.
Right, right.
So he told the audience that LeVar Burton walked up to him and said, "Hey, you're as cool." It's cucumber soup.
Oh, my God.
stuck with him.
He's like, I don't know what that means. I'm English, so I don't know what that means.
Your school is Kuna Kinte getting whipped.
Oh, no! Oh, man! Man. A Roots joke. Jeez.
LeVar Burton joke, but you know.
You could have gone Reading Rainbow.
Did he ever get beat in Reading Rainbow? I don't know.
No, he never got beat in Reading Rainbow.
Beat with books.
Butterfly in the sky. I can fly twice as high.
Because I'm smoking weed.
No, oh my God. No, here we go.
Sorry.
All right. So.
It didn't work.
So.
Reading reefers.
This is what happens. I can take you out, but.
I've been drinking before I started the show.
I know.
Tonight.
You pregame it all the time.
I do.
It just gets crazy.
What are you drinking on?
I had a Sex on the Beach.
Oh, Jesus.
Because I bought orange juice and I wanted to make this drink with orange juice in it. So I had that and Jess made something for me earlier.
And now we're having a James T. Kirk?
Yes.
Okay.
With like 6.5 shots in it.
It's. I'm halfway through it.
I'm halfway through it too.
What were you saying, Joe?
I saw that on the menu last night, but I got a Rock de Gino.
Rock de Ginos are good. They taste like dessert.
Oh, I know. They're delicious, but I can only have a couple. They're so sweet. But, dude, I totally didn't. I feel like a total idiot. I told the bartender, he goes, yeah, what kind of drink is this? I told him, oh, it's a Bajoran drink. Oh, my God. I don't know that.
Well, they drink it a lot on the Bajoran space station for some reason.
I mean, that's what the connection was for me, and I just thought it was a Bajoran drink.
Well,
see Bajorans drinking it, you know?
It makes more sense that it's a Bajoran drink with how sweet it is. I just don't see Klingons drinking that. Although the Klingon blood wine I made was super sweet, too.
Yeah, great. I don't really think it's supposed to be that sweet. I just think it's coffee, like, it's like espresso times a million. You know,
it's got a chance for the Klingons.
That's what I thought, but
maybe Klingons have a sweet tooth. Maybe we'll see that in Discovery.
Yeah, talking about Discovery, let's jump into a little bit of that. Like, did you get anything to see? Any props? Did you see anything?
They had the captain's chair there. Did you get to sit in that yet?
I'm doing that tomorrow. Line has been so long every damn day. It's been ridiculous. Like wrapping around half the hallway.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous. So
nuts. It was funny. I saw Dan Davidson from the Trek Geeks podcast. He put up a picture of himself sitting in it, and he was wearing a tan shirt. And I don't know if the background is tan, where they like put on some kind of, but he looked like he was like phasing out, like just his chest and like the part of his arms where the shirt was.
He's not really there.
And he was like, his head was there, his legs were there, his bare arms were there, but his chest was just like phased out. You could see right through him.
Did they have any displays or anything for Discovery there, Joe?
Oh yeah, they have tons of it. Everywhere you look, there's a banner saying Discovery. There's a picture of you know, the ship, and just tons of Discovery just pumping it up and trying to, I think, try to get viewers for it.
That's awesome.
I'm glad they're advertising it big there, but they didn't advertise it to people who are not Star Trek fans.
Yeah, well, agreed.
Well, okay, but I mean, it's very unlikely that a non-Star Trek fan will walk into this.
Well, no, that's what I mean. They need to advertise it like on TV and the movie theaters.
Right. Yeah.
They need to get people. They need to get this in front of people who wouldn't normally watch Star Trek, so they can be like, "Oh, I need to check this out."
Right.
Because agreed. It looks cool.
Sure. Absolutely.
Just like the new movies have been attracting new people that never were Trekkies before that.
Did you, how did you, when you saw those new movies, what was your take on that, Joe?
Well, I'm a little mixed. I think they're really great how they produced them and made them, and they're action filled. And my favorite scene was probably the scene where it was reversed, where Kirk, instead of Kirk dying, it was Spock dying. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a pretty cool thing they did there. But, you know, I don't like how they, like, went out and kind of made this alternate universe. I really would have liked to seen it stick to the original, but that's just my opinion.
Right. Because there's all sorts of different people have different takes on it. Some people absolutely loathe it. Other people are mix and other people are crazy about it. So,
well, the thing is, like, CBS owns Star Trek as a thing, but Paramount made the movies, and so they have to they have to, like, because Paramount and CBS were all under Viacom before the split. So because CBS got Star Trek, Paramount has to license Star Trek from CBS. Therefore, the movies had to be in a separate universe time split. Because they can't switch over. And then all these people are complaining that, oh, Discovery is going to be in the Kelvin universe. It physically cannot be, because that's Paramount's version of Star Trek.
Right.
The two cannot or should not mix, as far as – they're not
they
supposed to be able to
mix. They shall never meet.
Because they're not supposed to.
Okay.
I never knew that. Interesting.
And that's what I've been reading lately, that when people are going, oh, look, it's going to be – the Discovery is part of the JJ universe. I'm like, no, it's not, because they can't, because Paramount has to license it from CBS.
Gotcha.
But part of the licensing agreement also said that they had to wait like 6 or 9 months after Beyond came out before they started marketing a new show, so they didn't confuse the brands.
It didn't conflict. What are your feelings when you've seen the trailers and all the new stuff, Joe, for Discovery?
Oh, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be great. The production value, I mean, it's just nuts. It's like, I think it looks as good as the movies, honestly.
Yeah.
And for a series like that on TV, or I guess pay-per-view type, but I think it's awesome. And I'm going to pay for it, you know, regrettably, but I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm after seeing how high the production value is on the show, I'm happy to pay for it now. Because if it wasn't, if they weren't triple dipping the way they were, I don't think they'd be able to make the show look the way it does.
But did you watch Walking Dead at all?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Walking Dead.
So you've seen
Martin Sequoia, you mean?
Yeah, Sequoia Martin.
Yeah, Green. Great actress.
Yeah, and that last what was it, the last episode where
She died?
She dies. I mean, she's got like all a ton.
I haven't watched Walking Dead since season 3.
I know. You hate it. But,
oh, sorry for the spoilers.
Oh no, I know she died. I don't care. I kind of gave up on the show. The comic books are amazing, but the show just dragged for me.
Yeah, I like the show. It's something me and my wife can bond about. But I was always kind of like in between if she was really good at first, and then she just kept on getting better and better, her character. So, but I think it was just her part with how it was written. So she had to kind of like dig into it.
Probably, because I mean, she got introduced in season 3 with the other guys,
Tyrese
that came into the thing. And
Tyrese.
Her part was so small in the first season. I didn't even remember that she was in it.
Oh, she was really quick.
She didn't do anything in the season 3, really. She was just kind of with Tyrese.
And I thought her and Tyrese together, but they weren't. So I was kind of confused at first.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were together, too. And that's all the little bit I saw of it. So,
but, nah,
yeah,
they weren't.
No.
anything else we want to talk about? Anything else, Joe, that you want to bring out about Star Trek Las Vegas that you had seen?
Well, two other things from that panel from the TNG one. News to me, maybe not to you, but Patrick Stewart, his favorite episode during the whole series, Inner Light. I guess it's not too surprising, being that his son was in it and everything. So it must have been a little special for him.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Get to yell at him at unset.
What are you doing, son?
That's not how you act.
Slaps him.
It must have been, been pressure for his kid.
He got to do it in Blunt Talk, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same son. The same son,
I think. He also mentioned that. Yeah, yeah. Same guy. Same his real son. But, it was sad that Blunt Talk kind of ended. And he was kind of sad about that, too. He mentioned it for a minute.
I love season 1. I haven't seen the rest of it yet.
Very entertaining. Yeah, I'm still in season 1, but very entertaining. I liked it. I like Patrick Stewart. So
sure.
It's not too hard to like it. The only other thing was, it was kind of interesting. The actress that played Tasha Yar, Denise Crosby, she was talking about her character, and one of the questions was, which character did you like better, Tasha Yar or
Sela?
Sela. And she did not like playing Sela very much. She liked playing Tasha Yar, but not so much Sela.
Really? Because I feel like she kind of begged to come back, and so this
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But Sela probably is a little more work, you know, you gotta get in costume. It's not like you just jump in a uniform and
Well, you have to put on a couch whenever you're...
yeah, put a couch with spikes. Yeah, and you get that goofy wig, and she get her ridges and her ears and stuff like that.
I don't think she had ridges.
She didn't have ridges. Maybe if she did, it was very, very little, so...
Yeah. I think she was lucky she got away with it, because she was half...
Yeah, half Romulan, yeah. Half human.
But part of it was that she liked... she said it was more her, as a person. It was more... she was more Tasha Yar than she was Sela.
Well, yeah, because Tasha, you know, is like goody two shoes, like, you know, Federation, and then you've got, you know, Sela, who's like conniving and evil. But I mean, I did like college theater. I've always wanted to play bad guys. I just think that'd be more fun.
Bad guys are more interesting. I mean, good guys, you always kind of know where they're coming from, but yeah. Bad guys are like, eh.
You get to. I just feel like you got to. I never got to really play back. I got to play a drunk once, which is so surprising,
man.
Given the show that
and
I'm
then you
on.
Have a show of Synthaholics. It's your idea.
It was a Henrik Ibsen play. It's super depressing. It was awesome.
All right.
I think everyone was the bad guy in that show, technically, except for the main character. So I guess I kind of was the bad guy, but
you dumb kids. Get off my lawn. That was your line. Well, let's jump into our episode if we don't have anything else to talk about for Star Trek Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We are talking about, on with Joe's request, the Next Generation episode, Cause and Effect.
Chaws and Effect.
Chaws.
Yeah.
This is season 5, episode 18, and it first aired March 23rd, 1992. Many, many moons ago.
92. Wow.
You want to talk about that. All right.
I was playing my metal die-cast Enterprise from my Cheerio box.
I just got out of high school. Anyways. It starts off, the episode, the Enterprise is in bed, having a bad moment.
Its nacelle's blown up. Everyone's screaming.
Yep. People are screaming on the
and
bridge.
And five couples are having sex at this very moment.
That's right. You don't hear about that till later.
I think they stopped in a second. They're
no,
like,
it's like, wow, we're getting some rocket
action.
Oh,
yeah. They're like,
we're getting some zero G.
If the naysails are rocking, don't come a knocking.
So they hang a naysail on the outside of their door when they're doing it. They are kind of dong shaped.
Oh, man. There you go. How many drinks? Anyways, so casual reports coming in.
Not enough.
Commander Riker says everyone should head to the escape pods, and LaForge is trying to shut down the warp engines and
eject the core.
And they're trying to eject the core.
That's what the slubbers are trying to do.
Data today.
So Data says the engines are shut down and the core breach is intimate. Thank you. And then just as Captain Picard is asking or commanding to abandon ship, the Enterprise blows up, and that's how the show starts.
That's like the best opener. Just like
it
what.
Yeah.
So, wow, that was a short episode. I guess I'll watch something else now.
Well,
looks like it's destroyed.
Well, that's
end of season, end of series.
Oh. Guess they ended it that way.
This is the season series finale? That's weird.
I don't remember reading about that. And so then we go to the next. We show that the Enterprise is not destroyed, and it's flying through the Typhon expanse. And they're the first Starfleet vessel to chart this unexplored region.
Not! Well.
So, next we have a scene in, I believe it's Riker's quarters, where Data, Riker, Worf, and Dr. Crusher are in playing poker. Data's shuffling the card. And
very fast forward. Very awesome.
Yeah, very fast. He's shuffling those cards. And there's a couple nice little quips in between. And then there's a moment, a standoff between Riker and Crusher about who's bluffing. It's obviously Crusher's got the two queens, so she's probably ahead of Riker. But Riker could have a straight flush, so that might work out in his favor.
Except Worf is great at counting cards, and Worf is like, he does not have a flush.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes. So playing poker and all that, I appreciate good poker play.
Sure. Sure.
That was not good poker play at all by any of those guys.
Oh, well,
first of all,
Riker always bluffs. Yeah, always. I mean, he never not bluffs.
Yeah, it's true.
If you ever play against Riker, I mean, I would just call him all the way down. It's like, every time you're bluffing, you never have a hand.
I think the only time he didn't bluff was, I think he was playing against Wesley. And I think he had a... And he spanked Wesley. I was like, oh, no!
Well, you've got to spank Wesley. You can't just bluff Wesley out. That would be lame, because Wesley's lame.
If he lost to Wesley, can you imagine the shit he would have got from everybody?
Oh, yeah.
He would never hear the end of it.
Especially from Worf.
Oh, Worf would love
so much. He'd have to... He'd probably battle a bunch of prune juice he had to drink.
Oh, it's a Worf. When he's playing... I mean, he continues to play with, like, nothing. There's no chance that he can make a hand at all. And he keeps calling.
Yeah.
Well, all right, I'll see you. Oh, okay, well, I fold now. When he folds, he actually flips over his cards, which is a big no-no in poker. You never do.
Because they can't see it. They shouldn't be able to see it.
Exactly.
Well, also, when he first lifts up his card, Riker can totally see it. It's so far up on the table.
And here's the other thing. I don't really know what they're playing for. I mean, the chips are like, so they don't get paid. I mean, unless there's definitely for some kind of like Federation credit system.
They're probably chores.
Maybe shifts or something.
Dude, they probably like do different.
Yeah, I mean, that could be possible. But I mean, like, Joe, have you ever played poker for like absolutely no money? It's totally
just now at Las Vegas.
I mean, like, when you play with no money, it's everything's meaningless. You can just keep on bluffing. You can do the stupidest things.
But you're out when your chips are gone.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, if there's no incentive, then it really loses a lot of like momentum. Yeah. I don't know.
You're right.
I've played a couple games that are just completely friendly, like just with the chips. And it's just. It's like the teeth are taken away. It's just like, meh.
Yeah.
You got to have a little bit of bite, like, oh, I just lost $50, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so after she wins, she gets a call from sickbay that LaForge was down there. He's feeling dizzy, so she goes down to check it out. It says that it looks like inner ear infection, and so she gives him some hypo spray to make him feel better, but she has this feeling that she's perform this examination before, but LaForge says, I don't think I've ever came in for this
before. I don't think I've done this before. I love how her sixth sense is clumsiness.
Well, she definitely says she's like feels like she has some deja vu, but you know, she's just like, oh well, whatever. So
and she was, I think she was the first one to actually recognize that.
Yeah, this is definitely
I feel like she was recognizing it in the card game too, because whenever she's kind of pausing after she got the second queen,
Data's kicking in. Like she's like,
Data's really, like, yeah, you've got control of the bet.
Yeah, you got the two queens. You should be, yeah. So next, she's getting ready for bed. She's doing a little pruning before bed.
Pruning. She's like, all of a sudden, this episode, she's a botanist for no reason.
Well, you know.
And,
in the other episode, I think it was Clues, where. Data's the only one with his memory intact. Everyone else loses their memory or gets their memory wiped.
Right, right.
They, I think it's same as that. They showed him that
she's pruning.
Yeah, she said she's like a amateur botanist or something like that.
Oh, it's been a while since I've seen Clues.
That's one of my other favorite episodes.
But like, but her the glass she's drinking out of is more shallow than my shot glasses.
Dave,
I don't know how you drink.
Your shot glasses are shy of a bucket, so.
Yeah, but that glass is like, it's the weirdest flute I've ever seen. There's like 99% like stem and like almost nowhere to drink out.
Well, it might be a really powerful drink. You don't know that. This is space.
She's just drinking street opium extract.
It could be. It could be psychedelic for all you know. But talking about psychedelics, next when she turns off the light, gets in bed, she starts hearing voices.
And promptly breaks that small glass.
She breaks the glass to turn on the light. Next morning, they get together for a briefing. And they're, you know, basically talking about the charting of the Typhon expanse, if I can say it right. And she talks about how she heard voices the other night, and they said that the rest of staff had not heard anything about it, but they were curious, so they're going to start running some.
I think she said a couple other people in the crew heard things at the same time she did.
Right, but it, yeah, oh yeah, you're right, she did. And then they were going to run a couple diagnostics and see if they can find anything. So next they find a localized distortion in the space-time continuum. Picard asks Ensign Ro to back it off a little bit, like just back up.
Back off the D, Ensign Ro.
Put it in the R. And so she says you can't. Thrusters won't respond. And next, the distortion starts fluctuating, and the power levels start to drop. And Counselor Troy says, "You got to get out of here."
Troy's like,
I'm not sensing anything good from this.
This is going to suck really bad in any second.
Again, her power's, you know, back to common sense. I really wish she had her power was a little more than common sense.
I know. So,
very true.
I know, right? So, a starship jumps out of the distortion and.
It's gone! Wait.
It's gone!
Same shit, though.
I just keep wanting the music from Wrath of Khan to start playing as soon as it emerged.
So the ship's going to collide with them in like 36 seconds.
Riker's like, hey, let's open up the cargo. I mean, the shuttle bay we've never ever used before.
To blow,
and we'll never ever use again.
Just to blow them out of the so the pressure will knock them out of the way. But then Data says, oh, if we use our tractor beam, we could probably push them out of the way. Fortunately,
I don't get why didn't they just do both?
Yeah,
why not both? I figured they would have tried both at least at some point, or maybe it's like, oh, let's use all of our tractor beams instead of just one.
Separate the saucer section.
Sacrifice the saucer. What I want to know is, okay, before the ship loses power, the helm goes dead. Why doesn't the helm go dead after they lose power? And B, how does the tractor beam still work after they've lost all these other systems?
Reasons, Dave. Reasons.
That's a good point, though.
I'm just like, wait, like opening a door should be the easiest thing they could do at the moment. Yeah. I feel like the tractor beam should have failed because all their power is turning off. The only thing they do is open the door because there's a backup generator for the door.
A backup generator for the whole ship. Maybe they were on emergency power. Had just enough for the tractor beam.
Just enough. But no shields. The core eject is offline for whatever reason. Like
power up the tractor beam.
But somehow the tractor beam's got all the secondary power diverted to it.
Well, unfortunately, the tractor beam does not work. And
nacelle gets grazed slightly, and the whole thing blows up.
And the ship explodes with Captain Picard screaming, "All hands abandon ship!
All hands abandon ship!"
So, and that ends, and we go to commercial break, and then we go to the next one where
they demonstrate exceptional poker skills, according to Joe.
Yep.
So we start off again. The Enterprise is whole. It's flying into the Typhon expanse. And then we're back in the same poker room. Same thing happens all over again. This time, Beverly sort of has...
She shows how good she is at counting cards. And she projects the six cards that come out.
Yeah, she says she's feeling deja vu. And she's having the strong outcome of the game. So
yeah.
And
she also dismisses it real fast, and Riker's like, "Oh, you were gonna call my bluff, weren't you?"
Right.
I think it went from there.
Yeah,
then she calls sick bay,
and then of course,
hey, LaForge is Jordy there?
Yeah, LaForge is down there feeling dizzy again, and she talks again. The same idea, has an odd feeling that she's diagnosed him with this issue before,
and he's like, "Oh yeah, I think maybe you might have."
And she looks through the log, but there's nothing. So she starts doing basically looking at the pain in the visor that he might be having, but you know they're not quite sure where that's all coming from.
Isn't that where she gives him the ocular scan, or is it the next?
That's the next time around. Yeah. So later, Crusher is in her quarters again, and she hears the whispers, and she calls Captain Picard, and she breaks the glass again.
Breaks the glass again.
When he goes to see Picard, they kind of sit there on the couch and
cuddle and
gives
gives him a head rub.
He gives her warm milk with nutmeg, which I think she gave Riker that. No. Did she give it Riker?
She gave warm milk. I don't know if she gave him with nutmeg and all good things, but she did give him warm milk.
Yeah. So,
that one time.
So, but she didn't, like, she said it was from her, like, grandmother, but that's from her, Picard's
Picard,
aunt,
yeah,
Aunt Adele.
Yeah, Picard's like, yeah, I keep trying to figure out the recipe. It's never quite right.
I wonder
hope it doesn't taste like shit. I'm sorry.
This tastes like shit.
Way too much nutmeg in this. Like, it's on her teeth.
The nutmeg's fine. It's the shit that I don't think you should really remove.
No, she just stirred in the shit with the nutmeg. Oh, man.
Gross.
Shit? Yeah, that'd be good.
I just wonder if Adele is actually the singer. That'd be pretty awesome.
That would be.
She's like figured out how to live forever.
She's still singing.
She's still singing. Like her neck is on her neck's hanging out to her knees.
Oh,
she's like a turkey. Oh.
What, like the
a human turkey?
Like the Goblin King from the first Hobbit movie?
Yes. But everything from the neck down is a 10.
Oh, that's awesome. That's right. And she's a body double for 7 of 9 later
yes.
on. But when she turns around, there's like wolf howling.
It's like if she moves her neck, her body looks great underneath that neck.
Well, I guess that
how
milk.
How many drinks, David? Not enough.
Not enough. There's not enough drinks.
I had a couple poolside myself.
All right. Well,
awesome.
We're all just rocking.
Any Orions at the pool?
No, but sir, it came out there for a minute.
Were there any like at the pool where there like people in cosplay?
Any women Ferengi just walking around? Yeah, naked?
Well, I only saw one, and that was Sarek. He came out and or a guy dressed up as Sarek, and he came out and. To live long and prosper and all that. And it was kind of funny.
He didn't go in the pool, though, did he?
With his nose on?
No, he was in full costume, so he just like chilled on the side of it.
Oh. Did he drink?
I did not see a drink in his hands, but, I mean, most Vulcans don't drink, though, do they?
Not really, unless
Spock they... drinks.
The truth of that.
Yeah, unless they have Benzai syndrome.
You know, did he like sit on one of those like lounges next to the pool with like those reflective things he was holding?
No, he was just walking around.
That would be hilarious to see like a full costume walking. Just laying down, like sunning his face.
So I'm assuming Las Vegas is pretty damn hot right now, even if after the massive rain, right?
Oh yeah, it's over 100 degrees.
So he's walking around in this huge robes.
I can't believe Jess.
I know he is.
I can't believe Jess wore a Santa gorn in Las Vegas. I just can't.
Inside the convention, it's kind of cool, but if you go outside, oh yeah, he has to take that off.
Well.
Love you, Jeff.
Santa Gorn. I just was wondering if Sarek was trying to be sexy at all.
Did he lift up his robe and show some legs?
Oh, yeah, it's full robe on.
Lift up the robe, show a little ankle. Come on.
Little ankle. Come on. What is this? Puritan times? Anyway, so. So yeah, so he gets the
next episode.
Yeah, the warm milk.
Warm milk, yes.
Yeah, with the shit in it.
Gives it to her, yeah.
And of course, again, just a little bit later on, they run into the next morning. They run into the space time distortion.
Erner.
And the whole thing happens all over again. They collide with the ship. The
get
ship.
Off that D, rinse and roll.
And
go in the rear.
Oh no!
Oh,
and sorry. And then they
get too far, David.
And they explode.
I do.
He always does. It's part of his charm. The little charm he is.
What a shit globe!
All right, so we get.
I raise my pinky when I drink.
Hair.
So do I.
Hair. So we get to the next iteration. The Enterprise again is flying into the Typhon expanse unharmed. We're going obviously back again.
Rewind.
Back at the poker game. This time, she's Beverly.
They're all guessing the numbers.
Yeah, Beverly definitely feels like there's something going on, And even Worf says that he has, was it Nepo?
Nepo or something like that.
Nepo, yeah. So it's
Klingon deja vu.
Yeah, Klingon deja vu, whatever that is. And so they start counting the cards.
Yeah, they all start doing
what
it.
They are. So, and
Ogawa calls Beverly again because Beverly doesn't precog this one. But I love like the weird way she exits. She's like freaking out, like she turns around. She's like,
what's going on?
And man? Then I just love that expression she's got, like, in the body language of utter confusion as she leaves.
Right. So, again, we're with LaForge, and he is getting the visor receptors, making him feel dizzy. And he's seeing a phase shift with projected images that didn't exist. And apparently this is found in the surrounding Deccan field in his visor. So
this visor is really nifty. I mean, how many episodes –
this is visor, like, fix things.
Yeah, like, when Worf, I think it was in Parallels, where Worf is time travel, or switching different universes, it's his visor that does it.
Yeah. If you didn't have that visor, you can see time and space.
Man, if they would just, like, fix his eyes, come on.
Yeah, for real.
So many things.
Well, eventually he got there.
Yeah, sooner or later he did get there. And then Crusher later is getting ready for bed again. And this time she records the voices, and the voice, she, you know, calls up LaForge and says basically what's happening, and then they go down.
She moves the glass to a faraway point, and she still breaks it!
Yeah.
Damn it.
That glass needs to be broken. It's way too small.
So they start listening to the recordings, and they discover there's 1,000 voices, and... next, we get a senior staff real early morning. It's got to be like 5 a.m. because I think they were meeting
$500.
Yeah, they were meeting at like 700 hours or 700 hours. But now they got to be like 5 a.m. So they're like really tired.
Yeah, I'm sorry I called you out here earlier. Hope none of you are having any nuptials.
Nuptials. So, anyway, so they go through
Troy fixing her hair.
They're going through it, and basically they talk about obviously they play back the 3 important things that there's impact.
And this is where we hear that Data's like, oh yeah, like 5 couples were doing intimate things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thank you, Data. I appreciate that info.
Picard's like, get on with it. And Riker's like, was Troy one of them? No.
What's going on? You said a who what? So next, LaForge says that he believes that they've been caught in a temporal causality loop, and they've been repeating the same events, and they have no knowledge how many times. So they could have been 6 times. It could have been 100 times they've gone through this loop. So they just have no clue.
Could have been worse, like the other or the other shit down there.
Oh man, they've probably gone through that like
thousands of times.
Yeah. I know, it's ridiculous.
How do they not recognize it? How do they not start to understand it?
They're just not Enterprise
probably
quality.
Because they're not blowing up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't they blow up?
Nope.
Or maybe the Enterprise destroys them after it.
I feel like with that impact, it would damage them pretty severely.
But I want to talk about this at the end. Let's get on with the recap.
Well, anyway, so... So yeah, so they're stuck in the causality loop, and they have to try to start figuring out how they're going to do, kind of like
break out of it.
Yeah, and the idea is like, Worf says maybe we should just turn back, and then Picard says, well, we can't because like Riker says that maybe that's what causes it. So we don't.
Riker always says that if something happens, I feel like
you always say that, Riker. I want to take a chance. Let's turn around.
Because I feel like Riker's the one who says that in Counter at Farpoint too.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And then it's actually Troy who says what Picard says, that, you know,
we can't
change what we normally do.
Well, so LaForge and Data come up with this idea that they're going to send a module Deccan emission that will be very small, but it will affect Data's positronic subprocessors. It'll be sort of like a subliminal message that will go into him that he'll like
subconscious message that he's got to like he might remember
right and it'll have to be just a few characters, a word at most.
But they never decide on what it is, and like Picard's like, "Yeah, let's do it. Have fun. Figure it out."
So they just set it up.
Don't talk to me.
They just said, don't. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know the science. Just
I'm reading
it.
My Shakespeare.
I got to reread the same sentence of my Shakespeare over and over and over again.
So they set that up. And then, of course, the same chain of events happened like just a couple minutes right after they get Data set to go. He's got his little keypad.
His arm brace thing.
That's got the encoder so he can send the message. And just before the
good
last
thing, Riker likes humping Data's chair.
Yeah. Yeah, so Data
Troy should be feeling jealous.
Data is going – obviously, they make the suggestion. Riker says, open up the shuttle bay. It'll blow us out of the way. Data says, do the tractor beam. And then when he realizes that did not work – the tractor beam doesn't work. He sends the message 3 and they blow up. So, but it goes presumably the message will go back in time and affect Data. And again, we're back in the same thing again. This time, the cards start coming out, and Beverly, Beverly's like, it should be this, and it's not. And it's
just, everyone got threes,
and then got all three of a kinds as well, which is like Data's like, this is highly unusual. This does not happen.
Like, so, this can't be random.
Just getting three of a kind poker hand is like. Really impossible.
Really, really tough.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
They start going through the same thing with Geordi. They find the Deccan field issues that are going on that he's picking up those after images, and then from there they do. She's in her room and she picks up.
But everyone's in engineering.
Yes. Right.
And then you hear her break the glass through.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? That sounds way bigger than the actual glass you were holding was.
I know. She's like, I just ran out my window. I
dropped
ship.
My mirror, and then I replicated 3 other glasses and broke them too.
I just like throwing glasses.
In my glass table.
She did a lot.
She just comes out. She's got like shards of glass all under her arm. She's all covered.
What the hell happened?
I'm gonna
need
some medical attention here.
She's like, no, I'm fine. Let's figure out the Deccans. She passes out.
And even Data starts running some kind of scan on the ship and everything, and starts coming up with all these threes. So
all the way across
three. He's like, across the board. Really, this should not be happening. So, anyways, we're back to where they run into the ship again. The ship comes through the distortion, and obviously the choice is being made to blow the shuttle craft bay or use the tractor beam. And at the last minute, Data looks over and sees
the three pips.
Three pips on Riker's collar, and then she goes, he's like, that's the choice I should make. And he decides he doesn't.
Really, really fast.
He doesn't even tell Picard. He just blows the. The shuttle bay door open. That blows them out of the way, and they avert that disaster. And at the last, we get the Bozeman, which is the ship.
Yes, I love the name of the ship, the Bozeman.
The Boozehound.
The Bozeman.
And it's Kelsey Grammer.
It's a Soyuz class named after the Russians' satellite.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So... And it's like
Kelsey Grammer comes out with a great Russian accent.
Yes, because maybe I hear the blues are calling. Toss
salad and scrambled, eggs.
Oh my.
And like,
maybe I seem a bit confused, but baby, I got you pegged.
He is very confused.
But
so
I
that
don't
is...
know what to do without the salad and scrambled eggs.
Aaron, you must karaoke quite a bit.
Not really. I like to do it, but nobody ever wants to go.
I'll go with you.
All right, let's go. Let's go. We'll dress.
I'll sing very badly, but
I will sing wonderfully, and we'll have a great time.
It'll be a duo.
You gotta put that on the podcast. Karaoke night. Man.
That'd be hilarious.
We'll video cast. We'll do, like, get someone to Facebook Live it for us.
And then there's this quick thing that, you know, like Picard's like, do you know how long you've been doing this? And he's like, no, I just left like 3 weeks ago.
We left the Starbase. Fine.
It's like
all your loved ones have been dead.
Sensors again.
Khan might have killed some of them.
It's been 80 years. More. I don't know. Crazy.
And then they're all like, oh my God, my family, my kids, Oh God!
I kind of felt like Picard's smirk on the end of his face at the very end of it. I was like, that's kind of a shitty
smirk. That's sadistic.
Yeah. We need to talk.
But I also love how Geordi's like, oh, Data, you must have remembered the thing that we did last loop. And I'm like, Geordi, how did you all of a sudden remember this? You didn't know this like the entire rest of this loop.
Right.
How do you just say this?
Oh, he was holding on to that information.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, maybe Data'll figure it out. I can't let him know.
I wrote a note.
That I know.
I wrote a note and put it under my pillow, and I saw it later. So, Joe, you are a guest. You picked this episode. Let's break this down. What was seeing this episode again, getting back into it? What are the reasons you like it? What are the thoughts that you have about this episode?
Well, one, it was one of the most interesting intros that I've ever seen. Like, it's pretty intense when the Enterprise blows up first thing.
Right.
The other things I liked was the poker playing, and they did it continuously, so that was kind of cool.
Right.
Being in Las Vegas.
Exactly. What a fitting time for Star Trek Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Good podcast for that.
Sure.
And, yeah, it was it was just cool seeing the Enterprise going through this loop and figuring it out. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a great episode for that. Dave?
It's so much fun. Like you sent me a message that, oh, this is Groundhog's Day. And when you got over here, you were saying that Groundhog's Day actually came out after.
Yeah, it was a year after.
And I'm like, that's so cool. I figured I wouldn't have pegged that. I just think that's really awesome.
Because I was thinking, like, this is a lot like Groundhog Day, but like encapsulated in an episode, like one episode.
Yeah.
And I looked it up. It's like, so this came out in 92. Groundhog Day came out in 93. But I looked up Groundhog Day, and there's no credit to this whatsoever. Not that I could find, so.
Some writers definitely saw that. It's like, yeah, we're going to take that.
We're stealing that.
We're going to make this a comedy.
Which I love Groundhog Day, too.
It's a really good movie.
Bill Murray. How can you hate on him?
Yeah.
Phil Collard. For not wanting to do more Ghostbusters movies, but you know.
Anything else about this?
It's great seeing Kelsey Grammer come out and at the end. Seeing the turtlenecks of the Monster Maroons.
You need the turtleneck.
Which is something you never see in Next Gen.
Yeah,
Every time you see a Monster Maroon in Next Gen, except this episode, I believe, they're doing it without the turtlenecks.
Well, turtlenecks is obviously yesterday's Enterprise and Tapestry.
Tapestry,
I don't know if there's other ones that are showing the
Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head.
But, you know, I just hate it without the turtleneck.
The one where Wesley's dad gives them that message.
You see
him without the – you see the monster room without the turtleneck on that one.
Right.
The hollow image and all that?
Yeah, the hologram that he gets to go talk to and look at. Yeah, I can't remember any other episodes off the top of my head, but I feel like – most of the times they never have the turtleneck, and I'm like, it just looks so bad.
It does. It looks terrible.
Like, the Monster Room is a beautiful uniform, but it's that turtleneck that makes it somehow. I don't know why, but the turtleneck just does it.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be pretty darn hot, too. I got when you're on the ship, like...
Oh, yeah, because all those lights and the specs for the Monster Maroon is all wool.
Yeah.
So turtlenecks are warm on their own with whatever material they're made out of, but... The monsters themselves are colorful or wool in the official.
Let's hope it was air conditioned.
Yeah, they had some AC on their ships.
This episode is fun. It's great that they can keep this interesting. You know, like, because you're seeing kind of the same scenes played over and over again, same relative lines, same situation. Which that's difficult to do if you really think about it. I mean, and they do different angles.
It was shot beautifully.
Yeah, they shot different angles, make it look like there's one scene in the conference room where they're like shot from above and stuff like that. So I mean, there's like they try to switch it up. So it keeps visually interesting.
Because they didn't want it to look like a clip show where they just played the same scenes over and over again.
And I guess they wanted to do a time travel show, but they didn't want to get into time travel.
Yeah.
So.
Because they wanted to do it in a different way. And they succeeded really, really well, other than, like, kind of the weirdness with Geordi at the end.
Yeah, I guess it was just a quick way to. It was like they figured it out.
It's like exposition for the audience, basically. Yeah.
Kind of.
It's like if you're too dumb to catch on.
They could have just omitted that one.
I really wish they would have, because it kind of makes. It just.
Or just throw it at the very end. Like.
Or like you know, like have. It'll be someone's log.
But or like, even have Data explain it.
Yeah, Data could have explained.
Yeah. Anything. It could have just been like, you know, like a day later, go like, hey, we looked at it, and it seemed like there was some kind of message that was sent in the past, you know.
And yeah, but this, just the immediate Geordi saying that, like, just like, that just breaks the immersion of the episode.
It breaks the spell, yeah, yeah.
A little bit.
Any of the science-y, techie type stuff, though, Geordi's like, oh, yeah, this is what happened. I got it.
I did look up Deccan. There's no such thing as a Deccan. I can't find any Deccan particle or any Deccan field. I could not find. So this is obviously something they made up for the episode.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, we're barely able to prove tachyons.
True.
So a Deccan would be like the next level.
Yeah, tachyons are just theorized, right? They've never actually like said like this is a tachyon. They're theorized mathematically that they would make sense that they exist.
I think so because theoretically they move faster than the speed of light, but we haven't been able to find one. as far as I'm aware, because I read up on it. When we did that episode where they talked about the Voyager episode where the planet, the tachyon.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, how does a planet have a tachyon core? I feel like tachyons wouldn't be massive enough to make a planet spin like that.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. So tachyons don't exist as far as I could find. If anybody wants to correct me, please do. And yeah, idea of deja vu is an interesting thing, too. Have you ever had deja vu?
I think so.
You think so?
I don't remember.
Joe, have you had it? I have,
but it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've definitely had it multiple times. And, you know, it's kind of like the Matrix, you know? Have you ever seen the Matrix where the cat walks by, like, twice?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. But, yeah, definitely like that. And who knows? Maybe it is like the Matrix.
I only clear deja vu I have is deja vu in dreams. Where, like, I'll dream something that's so close to reality, but it's not really real, and then I'll wake up, and then I'll look for it, but then I don't find it, but it's, like, sort of, like, it's, like, on my mind. So it's, like, I feel like it's happening, but it didn't.
Yeah, I've had dreams that are very close to reality, but there's something a little off. But deja vu, for me, because I used to have it a lot when I was younger, but as I got older, it kind of, like, petered out a little bit. I mean, I still get here and there, but not too often. I always get this sense of dread every time I have it. Like, I feel like, something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. And there's,
that's not good.
No, it is.
Well, but I mean, I feel like deja vu would do that to you. Like if you're,
well, I mean, if you're in a situation, you're having a conversation or you're doing something, all of a sudden it's like everything you remember doing all this before. And there's all these different theories of it. Obviously there's some people who think that's like, it's a precognition to something. Other people think that, you know, maybe you've dreamt it and that that dream is coming true right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believe, though, like scientists who are trying to study it, it's got to be a really difficult to
like
study.
The multiverse thing, like you're tapping into another.
There is an idea that maybe you're getting a little bit of a hint of the multiverse, like something you're getting tuned into that different frequency that the multiverse, because I mean, like the room.
Oh, that'd be nuts.
Yeah, this room we're sitting in right now, if there is a multiverse, if that is a thing that's actually happening, then there's us doing the same thing. There's different versions of us.
I made less sex jokes.
You are not the funny one, and I am the funny one.
A little baby sliders action.
So, yeah. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things like that. So, I don't know. So, there's that. And then there's also, like, people believe that deja vu, you could be having, I think it's a temporal lobe is having kind of like a malfunction, and you're catching like something's coming, your temporal memories are hitting it, but it's also sending it to saying, oh, this is a long-term memory. This happened a long time ago. So you're short-circuiting your brain. Your brain's going like, oh, this happened a long time ago. This happened to us before, but it didn't really. It's just your brain's way of processing it. Also,
like something sort of akin to deja vu that I'm becoming really interested in is the Mandela effect. Are you familiar with the Mandela effect?
Mandela effect is freaked out.
I'm not familiar with that. What is it?
So have you heard of a movie called Shazam that's about a genie that starred Sinbad?
Was it Shaq?
It was.
But do you remember Sinbad being in a movie where he was a genie?
Oh, Sinbad, you're right, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was Shaq or Sinbad.
Because that movie.
Because the one with Sinbad never happened.
The one with Shaq did.
And the Shaq one was called Kazam, not Shazam.
Yeah, you're right.
But you remember, right. but you sort of remember Shazam with Sinbad.
I thought it was an actual movie.
It's not. That's an example of the Mandela effect. So basically, the Mandela effect Berenstain Bears. How do you spell Berenstain Bears?
Oh, I don't know. Man, Berenstain.
It's Stain.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like weird little things that, like, you could have sworn it was spelled like Stein, like Stein, but it's like Stain. It's right. So weird. And there's all sorts of little things. And it's named after someone, Mandela, who...
Nelson Mandela?
Nelson.
Somebody.
Yeah, I can't remember. I couldn't remember his first name, but, like, everyone remembers him, like, being beaten and killed in prison when that wasn't the case. And there's all sorts of... I can't think of them all off the top of my head, but it's super interesting, and it's like... People think that Mandela effect is part of the multiverse, and that somehow, if you remember, like, the Berenstain Bears being spelled like German instead of like Stain, or if you remember Shazam with Sinbad instead of Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal, it's because they existed for us at some point in our past, but somehow through some weird causality, we've switched to a different multiverse, and so we're remembering things wrong because they're different in this version of the multiverse.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a really fascinating thing, and it's just like, but the thing that makes it fascinating is that so many people remember different things differently, and it's just interesting to think about. It's like, sure, memory's not perfect, but for so many people to remember things a certain way and then never have existed is amazing. And so, it's interesting to look at.
Yeah, I just pulled up some things. So obviously the Nelson Mandela dying in prison back in the 80s, which obviously didn't die because he became president later on. Oscar Mayer isn't spelled the way you think it is. People remember spelled with an E, but it's actually spelled with an A. So Mayer instead of Meye, because you say Oscar Mayer,
yeah,
not Mayer. The other one is Sex in the City. It's Sex and the City. It's not Sex in the City. So there's like all these things that we've like. We Are the Champions, how it ends. People always think at the very end of the Queen song, We Are the Champions, he goes, of the world, but he doesn't sing that.
Really? That's, yeah.
But
then the thing, some actress says, you love me, you really love me. And the actual quote is, you love me right now, you really love me. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right at all.
Right. So anyways,
I the reason I brought it up, because it's similar to Deja Vu. Since we were talking about, you know, maybe bleeding into the multiverse, and so the multiverse made me think the Mandela effect. And we've never talked about it on the show before, and it's something I've become interested in recently.
Yeah, like one is like Luke. He doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. Darth Vader doesn't say that. He goes, I am your father. He doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. So just stuff like that. So there's all these little things that we like
remember, but they didn't happen.
They don't come out.
And the theory is that we came from a different place.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's, I guess,
I mean, it's silly, but it's interesting. It's an interesting thought experiment at the least.
Yeah. No, the Mandela effect is, cause when I first heard it there's a couple things like, man, I thought that was it. And they're like, no, it doesn't. No. Yeah.
But it's just so weird that mass consciousness and in movies and stuff, all these things are referenced the way we remember them.
Right.
But they're wrong when they're referenced. It's so weird. And it's like, why would they quote something if they're quoting it wrong? It's just...
It's a weird thing. Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
I do. Any other thoughts on that, Joe?
No, I mean, just that I've experienced it. I feel like I've had it a few times. But yeah, very similar. Deja vu.
Deja vu. Deja vu. Anything else we want to talk about? Cause and effect?
It's a beautiful episode. Very well done. I think one of the things that shocked me when I read the Memory Alpha on it was that I think it took them like 7 or 8 days to shoot this.
Seems really long.
I didn't know that.
It seems really long for like I feel like they could have just like shot it like four or five. There's only like four or five different scenes.
Yeah, just play. So like,
just like do like one scene a day. Like we're
the poker table. The conference.
Shoot it like six different ways.
You know, Beverly's bedroom, that kind of thing. Yeah.
It's just so weird. Like that it took so long, according to Memory Alpha, to shoot. I figured this would have been like a super, super fast shoot because it was a bottle episode. There's no external sets, no planet sets, right. nothing funny. I mean, sure, the special effects might take a while to put together, but I mean, right. this is just a shooting schedule that took over a week, and I'm like, how?
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of interesting. I feel like this could have gone real quick for him, but I don't know.
Who knows? Scheduling problems.
Maybe like script rewrites. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I enjoyed the episode. Great episode. Definitely should watch it. Cause and Effect, fun episode to watch.
Yeah, go watch it if you haven't seen it in a while. It's definitely a fun one to check out.
Joe,
it's totally standalone.
Joe, how much longer are you going to be out there in Las Vegas?
I fly out around 9 o'clock on Sunday, so I'll stay. So tomorrow, and yeah, I'll stay as long as I can and get as much of the convention in as I can.
That's awesome.
When does the convention end tomorrow? Is it like six? Is it like close early?
It's around 9 o'clock or so. Is the last thing.
Oh wow, 9 o'clock p.m. is the last thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of there's still a lot of panels and a lot of different actors still signing autographs and taking pictures and all that.
That's crazy because usually conventions usually kind of end early on Sundays.
Yeah,
they
start peeping out. Yeah,
it would make sense. Yeah.
Well, definitely. You know, if you get when you have time, shoot us some more pictures on the Facebook page.
Yeah, thanks for the pictures you put up. Did you ever get to meet Tanya? Yeah.
Gosh, we've been hitting each other up on Messenger, and things just haven't worked out. I am going to do my best to meet her today, though.
That's cool.
Awesome, yeah. I haven't heard from her yet today. I haven't messaged her or anything. But she saw Michelle Specht when she was wearing her the child cosplay.
Oh, cool.
Or the light going up into her. And she actually met Rod Roddenberry.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Got a picture with her and Rod in that outfit. And so I messaged Michelle, like, oh, my friend told me you met her. She was wearing the child cosplay with the light. And she's like, oh, that was great. Me and Rod Roddenberry were talking about that later on. And so I screenshotted that and I sent it to her.
That's cool.
So she could see that. Oh, like, oh, they liked it. They were talking about it later.
That's cool. That's cool. That's nice. That's really cool.
They did some great ones. She told me that her husband, Rob, wore like a Data cosplay. I can't remember which one. I think he went with a couple. I think he went with the one with the phone. He also did one where he was Sherlock. Data, and one of the ones Brent Spiner actually asked when they were getting a photo up with him. Brent Spiner asked for a photo of him, like together,
awesome.
Like for himself.
Nice.
That was really cool to hear from stuff from them as well.
Very cool. Very cool.
I definitely saw Sherlock Holmes for Data. It was kind of cool cosplay.
It might have been Rob. I mean, there probably was more than one, but I mean, Rob and her were going around.
That's great.
Yeah, very well could have been. Yeah.
When she's not in cosplay, her hair is blonde with red and blue in it, or pink and blue in it.
Or something blue.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate you coming on the show, Joe. And
yeah,
thanks
for spending time with us while you're at the con. I mean, that's awesome.
Oh, no, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and we definitely hope that everything goes well with your run for mayor and you become mayor.
If
you want to, if anyone listening wants to check on my website or see what I'm about, it's my name, Joe DePinto, JoeDePinto.com. And you can check out what I'm about. And if you want to make a contribution, support me, I'd appreciate that too.
Joe DePinto for president.
I won't go that far, but. Right.
He's going for mayor.
Yeah.
Baby stuff. Let's do it.
Yeah. Mayor, then president.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll let's work on it.
Cool. That's a couple more years from now. That's a couple more years now. He's got to have a couple terms as mayor before
sure.
He can jump in that. Or maybe governor after that, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Do the latter. Mayor, governor, Congress, president.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in that order. Senate or something, but.
Yeah, I got to throw that in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So if you want people to stalk you on social media, how might people stalk you on social media?
They can choose my either my Twitter, which is Joe DePinto, JoeDePintoWA, or they could hit me up on Instagram, also the same, Joe DePinto, WA, or Facebook at Elect Joe DePinto.
Awesome. Very nice.
Elect him indeed.
Yes, get him in there. We need more Star Trek people.
In our government. Oh, man, I just want a Star Trek person as president. That would be amazing, Joe.
Our life would be very different.
Yeah, I would love that, too. I mean, honestly.
Life would be very different for all of us.
You can take down the sanctuary districts that Trump would be putting up. In
The sanctuary district from DS9.
I'll tell you this much. If I was president, I would so invest in space technology and just advancing all of it, NASA and all that.
I know.
Thank you so much. We need more of that.
Definitely. Absolutely. Start your own Starfleet Federation.
Yes!
Yeah. Start small.
Joe DePinto, the space president.
That's right.
Yeah, right. But I'd love it to see a president just put mass amount of money in NASA and just really pump up our space program.
Well, the thing is, the problem with our space program has always been is like, oh, the only reason we went to the moon and the only reason we put a satellite in the sky was because we were at war with Russia. We didn't do it to be original or to be progressive. And, you know, we just did it because, oh, we got to do it because Russia did it. And then there was the race to the moon and then it all kind of fizzled out. And all this stuff, like, did good for us. I mean, we got Tang out of it. We got Tang. We got, you know, micro. I mean, all these different technologies came from the space program. And if we did more with space program, it would benefit everyone in the
world.
Imagine
if we harnessed one, asteroid with all the minerals and metals that are in there that you could take
from. They're trying to do that right now.
I know they are, but, I mean, just – if they could grab one, like, it would probably throw our whole...
Bring it into near-Earth orbit and mine it from space.
They say that if they did that it would kind of destroy our world economy because we would just have so much minerals in steel.
We don't need to bring it down to Earth. We need to leave it in space, mine it in space so we can build space stations and ships because the problem with getting things into space is it's too expensive to push stuff out into space.
Space elevator.
That's theoretically possible with carbon nanotubes, maybe. Like they're saying carbon nanotubes may not even be strong enough for the kind of forces a space elevator would do.
I don't.
I like the idea though.
It would be cool.
I love the idea.
Me too. I am a simple man.
There's a Voyager episode with a space elevator.
I'm a simple.
Yes, yeah. Janeway was talking about her ancestors.
I'm a simple man who podcasts. I don't really know much about these things.
I'm a simple man. I like simple things.
Simple things. That's right. I like to podcast. I like my my alcoholic beverages cold. I like my women hot. And that's about all I know.
Like when Ensign Rogue lays up on the.
That's right.
A space is amazing. I think we should do more because the more we invest in space, the more technological progress we'll see. Just awesome. for every regular person, it's like I argue with my security guard at work. And he's just like,
I work here. No, you don't.
No, it's just like, he's like, no one cares about space. I'm like, everyone should care about space because that's where all our technology comes from.
Right.
Like, he's like, what does space help anyone do? I'm like, computers? Hello? Anything we have in our modern day is pretty much thanks to space. I mean, there's so many different things to overcome in space, which would, overcoming those leaps and hurdles is just better technology for everyone.
Right.
So space is where it's at, I think, and we need to.
Oh yeah, it's in my dream. Like before I die, I would love to go into outer space. That's like my goal.
Yeah, maybe they'll do like tours where you go up in the satellite or something.
Become president.
Yeah.
Call up Elon Musk. It's like, hey, let's go on SpaceX.
Those SpaceX rockets. Let's do it.
I believe honestly, in like 30 or 40 years, it's going to be somewhat affordable to go out in outer space.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I'd like to do it.
That way we can put one of those flat earthers up in one of those balloons, like get them up there. I'm like, the earth is not flat.
Yes.
Did you get it?
No one's seen the earth from space. I've been watching Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo and they're yelling.
Even.
I'm just like, how can you? They're all fake. All the pictures of earth are fake.
I can't.
Because they use Photoshop to splice them together. And I'm like, no, that's.
I know. I had an uncle one time saying that there might be like a continent, like an Atlantis that nobody's ever like discovered or it's secret. And I'm like, dude, it would be so improbable that would even be the case. Like, we would have seen that. Somebody would have ran into it. We'd have gotten
something. I believe that, yeah. I believe so. Yeah. But it would be cool to see a Lost City of Atlantis, underwater city or something.
Well, supposedly, it's in Atlanta. It's in Atlanta. It's hidden underneath.
It's in Georgia.
It's in Georgia. No, but it's...
I think there's a Futurama episode where they...
That's awesome. Lost City of Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
But it's supposed to be in the Atlantic Ocean. They found these weird roads underwater around Cuba.
That
lead out to the middle of nowhere.
Bitumi Road or something like that. I fancy.
Yeah, they say it like leads out to like the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and like it just kind of falls off, and like there could have been something. That stuff's always fascinating to me. I love seeing things on Atlantis. But
yeah, I just watched a little. Leonard Nimoy, Search of the Unknown.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In Search Of, that's what it was.
In Search Of. Oh, yeah. That was a good show. But, you can... for all David chipping over his words, you can follow Synthaholics. It's Synthaholics Duo, at Synthaholic Duo on Twitter. All our music is provided by Warp 11, except for our intro, which is done by Dave Wilkes. I have David_J_Duncan on Twitter.
I'm Blackbird2004.
Guy is GS Davis Art. And again, since I messed it up earlier, the show is at Synthaholic Duo.
Yes, that's where we are. And hey, if you can, we'd greatly appreciate it if you could run over to on our website at Synthaholics.com and hit our Patreon button. And there, if you want to throw us a buck, maybe more if you can afford it, help fund the show, keep things going for us. We'd greatly appreciate any contributions that you give us. If you can't, we totally understand. One great way to support the show is to get onto iTunes and rate and review us, preferably 5 stars, preferably Woo. Nice things are said about us. And that helps the show get more visible throughout the different algorithms of how they rank shows, so we can actually be seen when you do a search for Star Trek podcast. And
thank God for Podcast Addict, which is how Joe found us.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Totally random. It was just meant to be destiny. Yeah,
that's awesome. I can't believe that shot up that fast. But
Destiny's Children.
And I love you guys' podcast. You guys are hilarious. It's a really good one.
Thank
I love
you.
It.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. It's very nice of you to say that. Last, if you do know somebody who's interested in podcasts, who's interested in Star Trek, sci-fi, anything that might be just silly, drunken babble.
Debauchery.
Backing up on the D.
Or on the R.
Definitely tell them about Synthaholics. Say, hey, I know this podcast. If you're looking for something new to listen to, I greatly appreciate word of mouth is a wonderful way
Don't
to.
Don't play it a lot at work. You might get in trouble.
Do not.
Leave your headphones on.
On and make sure that's taped onto.
Or make sure your batteries don't run out if you're using wireless and it goes back to your speaker.
Yes, right, exactly. So, yeah, any of those things would be a great way to support the show.
We thank you so much. Thank you again, Joe, for joining us live from Las Vegas.
Thank you being our correspondent.
Thank you.
We're live from Las Vegas.
I'm live from Las Vegas at the Star Trek Convention Center.
I just saw a Twi'lek run by. That's not from Star Trek.
I just saw Sarek at the pool.
He showed not enough ankle.
Signing out from Las Vegas, this is Joe DePenno. Nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper. Give me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. It started. Or get shotted, as I like to say.
Get shotted.
Stupid. I watched Bad Grandpa and I love to say sharted now.
Yeah, I saw that.
I sharted all over the corner of that bakery.
I sharted the bed.
He sharted his booth.
And for like the summary, I'll just try to hit the high points every time it repeats, because obviously
it repeats.
So there's, you know,
Aaron, I was kind of talking with David earlier, and you know, I'm probably just going to take over that and talk over you a little bit if you don't mind.
Why? Did you want to do the summary?
I'm just fucking with you, man. Oh. I know how you like. I see how many people are like talk over you and shit. And I was like, I'm not going to do that to you.
No, no, I don't care. It's part of the joke, actually. It's just like, I just...
The Dobby of the show.
Yeah, I don't want... It is what it is. I mean, because sometimes Dave will say something that's really funny I never even thought about or something like that, so...
And sometimes you just roll your eyes at me.
Sometimes I do. I go, moving on.
Oh, there's a couple of times you rolled your eyes at me last week. So he was also upset because I didn't open the door when he got here.
Yeah, at least it wasn't raining. Anyways, yeah.
You didn't like the Nazi joke last week?
Which Nazi joke?
The one I was like, I did not see that coming. You're just like, ugh.
No, that was actually, I think that was Pete. I mean, not Pete.
I thought you both were like, ugh.
No, it was corny, but it was funny. You know, like, I expected way more Nazi jokes out of that.
I don't know. I wasn't trying to hold back. We just went so many different places. Like, yeah, I think if we're going to do Nazi jokes, I think it just needs to be me and you.
Oh, what was...
Maybe Andrew Dumais would like Nazi jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Dumais might actually get into Nazi jokes.
What's the TOS, the Nazi one, where the ship captain comes down and he breaks the Prime Directive and he makes the planet... I can't remember the...
I can't remember the title.
But we should do a whole Nazi...
Do a Nazi series? Whole,
just...
Don't want to blow the Nazi load, though.
I know. We should do... You know how we do our thing, themes? We should do a Nazis in space one.
Nazis in space!
Yeah. Anyways, that might get us in trouble. But anyways...
Except the Holocaust has been taken over by Nazi radio. NAZI radio. Today's feature, Nazis in space.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyways, should we get this show started?
Yup.